you don't agree that those are the most crucial grooves you've heard since Funkadelic.
What, Limp Bizkit grooves? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like
the
ultimate cross between Funkadelic and Rob Tyner.
Yeah, no, I don't agree at all.
Oh, you do not deserve a radio show.
CITR 101.9 FM, your crucial groove station.
It's just a lot of BS. A whole lot of BS. It's just a lot of BS. A whole lot of BS.
What do you like?
I love picnics.
What do you like?
I like me first, then my sisters and brothers.
What do you like?
Hitting this tin can with a spoon.
Ah. What do you like?
Messing up a room.
What do you like?
I like pina coladas.
What do you like?
Dead burnt bodies.
What do you like?
Sadists.
Known perverts and Mormons.
What do you like?
Noise! 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 Noise!
Traffic was light, the weather was clear. A truck slowed down and apparently disappeared momentarily into the cloud. Behind it, the car carrying Miss Mansfield did not slow down. It crashed into the rear of the truck, shearing off the top of the car. The three adults in the front seat were killed instantly. Miss Mansfield was decapitated.
CITR 101.9 FM. It is 11:30 a.m. You know what that means. It's time for a noise, as it is every Wednesday, atop of the beautiful, soon-to-be asbestos-free student union building at the University of British Columbia, Luke Mead here at the helm. And you just heard Raven Tussle by New Sensei. And in the studio, I have two very special guests, Daniel Patu and Andrea Lucic.
Lukic.
Sorry, Andrea. And together, they make that lovely sound you just heard as New Sensei, who are playing tonight at the Astoria Hotel with GR82000. That's how I'm saying it. Screw you, Tom. They're also playing with Petroleum Byproducts. Okay, on the press release, it only had a T. So, either way, killer show going on. CITR sponsored and Discord sponsored. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good.
Thank you so much for coming down. Now, you guys really made a ruckus with me last year when this record came out. Probably one of my favorite releases of the year, the one-sided LP or EP, I guess. And I guess I got to ask you the preliminary kind of boring BS questions. How'd you get started?
Well, Andre and I went to high school together, so,
what high school was that?
We went to an alternative school called City School.
In Vancouver.
Yeah. And, Andre and I wanted to be in a Kiss cover band originally, so that's why we decided to learn how to play, and teach ourselves to play instruments, because we were going to play in a Kiss cover band.
What Kiss covers did you do?
Well, it never actually happened. We just really wanted
just
to do it.
So it was kind of a band in theory rather than anything else.
And so I used to practice drums on my pillows at home. I just had drumsticks. I didn't even own drums. And then Andre and I were in a band before New Sensei, our first band called Maggie Got Wrath, which was kind of like a weird surfy kind of punk band, I guess. And we had one show. And then that band broke up, and then we started New Sensei.
Excellent. But I'm more curious about the Kiss thing, actually. Just because I've always been kind of a hater of them, but with the exception.
Yeah.
And I'd love to debate with you about this.
Okay.
Music from the Elder. which is possibly their greatest record.
Yeah.
And it's their most panned album.
Yeah.
And it's their concept album. They were busted out of their minds on Blow. They had Bob Ezrin producing it. And it's this lovely little concept album. Reason being, it's the only Kiss album that does not have their faces on the cover.
Oh, okay. See, I like their faces. That's why I like Kiss.
That's cool. Well, I mean, that's pretty much 80% of their substance.
I think when we were 14, the aesthetic just really appealed to us. Like...
And you can find your own Kiss member. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And
you can relate to them.
No one wants to be Peter Criss, right?
Nobody wants to be Peter Criss.
And that's coming from a drummer, folks, by the way. Totally. Okay. I don't think any drummer wants to be
Peter
Criss.
Was weird.
But now, when looking back, Peter Criss is probably has the coolest makeup.
Yeah.
Out of all of them.
The cat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Paul Stanley's makeup is pretty.
Well, it's glam. That's pretty glam. I think that's everyone called Kiss a glam band, and I would definitely consider Paul to be the most glam out of them all. Because
I thought Ace was the best.
Ace, yeah. He's the spaceman.
You know, and that's kind of like Mark Bolan kind
of. Yeah, and he was kind of like
and Ziggy Stardust.
He was a mystery.
I feel like Peter Criss was like. Because, I mean, the attention was definitely on Gene and Paul all the time, and I feel like Peter Criss wanted the attention, but I feel like Ace was kind of just like,
he recorded their only number one hit.
But during Kiss, like, he never really got asked questions.
Well, he got switched and no one cared, you know?
I think it was also because he hit the sauce pretty hard too, though, actually.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's
kind of why Paul and Gene were the mouth boxes because they were kind of more so. Well, they were addicted to ladies more than anything else.
Yeah,
so.
Gene doesn't drink, apparently.
He does not never touch a drop in his life, apparently.
Oh, wow.
But and he did a keynote speak at back when Music West actually meant something. He did a keynote speak at the Commodore, and a woman raised her hand and laid on this politically correct thing about misogyny and rock and roll, and it's like bands like you make it really, really hard for women to succeed in rock and roll. And he just said, without even blinking, he goes, "Honey, you just make it hard." And like he's Gene Simmons 100% of the time. It's pretty amazing. I wish I did some preliminary stuff because I would blast on some Kiss right now.
But
we have some Butthole Servers lined up from a. Pretty rare record. I don't know if you know how. Do you know the Journal Poetry Systems series?
No, I got that at the best record store in Portland.
Oh, ever. What would that be? Exile? Exile Records is the greatest place on earth.
You can't spend less than $200.
I walked in there and the guy spotted me instantly. Like, he knew exactly what I was looking for, you know, and. And I just kind of went to this one pile and he saw what I was pulling out and he just kind of goes, and he wasn't being an evil businessman or anything, but he just goes, "So have you heard this and this and this?" And I'm like, "No."
He
plays it for you. And then you're like, "Okay, well, I'll put that in the pile then too." You know, and
he knows
like,
all the Vancouver bands too.
Yes, he does.
He's really well informed.
Yeah. He's very, very well informed. He's really, when he found out I was from Vancouver, he already knew about Fake Jazz Wednesdays and stuff like that. And, he was really interested in the cassette swapping noise scene and stuff that like Josh and all those guys had started up. So yeah, Exile Records, big plug for Portland. Portland in general is just a blast. But, anywho, this is, whoops, that's you guys still. Sorry. Hold on. This is College Radio at its finest. This is The Butthole Surfers on CITR.
Everybody in the cab was dead, except for a college buddy who came stumbling out of the wreckage. waking from the dream and I went back to sleep. And I dreamed that I was camping out and it was raining my tears. And I was Abraham Lincoln then too. Before they even told me, they turned in lamps and they caught on fire. And the people, these I was working on, caught on fire too. They all burned up.
Issue of Discorder magazine is on the streets now.
This month is the history issue. Discorder feels nostalgic and reflects on Vancouver's defunct venues. Interviews with the co-pilots, Mitra, and women. And features on the Goonies Gallery and the Western Front. As always, Discorder gives you the latest records and gig reviews, as well as concert calendars and CITR program guide.
Discorder, that slow fading of memories magazine from CITR 101.9 FM. Available anywhere that's remotely cool.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This show is a noise. Luke Mead here at the helm. And in the studio, we have the duo, New Sensei, Daniel and Andrea. And we just heard what?
That was Worms. Off of our new 7-inch coming out called Three Dreams.
With the S in brackets, of course.
Mm-hmm. The S is in brackets on Worms.
That is essential.
It's an optional plural.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
You know. Yeah. You know, you can have one or a few, whatever you want.
One question for you. Are you a duo by choice or by circumstance?
I guess it was originally kind of, I don't think it was like a conscious choice. Like I said, when we had a band previously together with two other members, and then we just started jamming just by ourselves, and we just found that we liked the way it sounded.
We added Nikki from Modern Creatures.
Yeah, she was supposed to play guitar at one point.
But
we just kind of liked the dynamic of just having two of us. We were happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. You guys, duos are pretty easy. Are you actually a couple?
No.
Okay. It's a fair question.
Yes.
No. It's a fair question. Thurston and Kim have made it work for them for, 29 years now. So
My boyfriend wouldn't be too happy about that.
Fair enough. Have you been asked the question before, though?
No.
No, we usually get it for our brother and sister. Sometimes people ask us.
I think in half an hour you could probably tell.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think we argue like husband and wife maybe, but...
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that keeps the relationship as strong as possible. When you natter away like mm-hmm. an old married couple, of course,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
Any other duos that you particularly like? Do you fashion yourselves after other two-piece bands or anything? Or?
Mm.
To be honest, most duos that I can think of, I really don't like. That I can think of off the top of my head.
I don't know any duos.
Just like...
I just can't think of anything I like.
Me neither. I can't really think. Yeah, the ones that come to mind, I'm just like, not into that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it would just depend, like, musically. I mean, I forget that there's only two of us in our band. Like, I don't think of it necessarily always, like that. So I think it would have to depend, like, musically I would have to be, like,
mm-hmm.
into it, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to the dynamic of two people.
Well... But, fair enough. Let me play you one of my favorite duos, actually. This is Mr. Anus and Horribly Charred Infant. And when they get together, they make a lovely sound known as the Happy Flowers.
Got the frisbee one under the lawnmower!
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. That, of course, was the Happy Flowers with My Frisbee Fell Under a Lawnmower from 1987's I Crush Bozo out on the sadly defunct Homestead Records. We love you all. In the studio, New Sensei here, Andre and Daniel. And we were just talking about duos. And by the way, I don't even think I've said this. These guys are going to be playing live in the lounge in 10 minutes. So stay tuned for some live off the floor CITR action. And yeah, what were we going to say? You've got queued up some Babes in Toyland.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you tell us about them? Why do you like them so much?
I don't know. I'm just a...
Daniel likes anything with girls in it.
I like my favorite. I love girl bands from the 90s.
Kat had a really good, this ties into a question and stuff like that. Back in the early 90s when Details magazine was actually a wealth of information mm-hmm. and a good zine, they had an interview with a whole bunch of musicians, but they just asked random questions, and it was like, what is your comeback to a heckler? Mm-hmm. And with Kat from Babes in Toyland,
yeah.
And it's like, if someone says, take it off, what do you say? She says, give me a knife and I'll take it off for you.
Whoa.
And that's a good comeback. Yeah. Have you guys ever dealt with hecklers in any way, shape, or form? No. Like,
what do you mean, no?
What do you mean? I don't
you mean talk back to them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear them. I can't hear anything, usually. My hearing's not that great.
I think, we don't say anything back. But not to say that people don't heckle us. Yeah. Like, they definitely do.
I'm sure they do. We just can't hear it.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes we get like...
Daniel heckles other people, but...
Yeah. Not.
Are you allowed a mic on stage? Or?
No, I don't. Not while we're playing. I just like to heckle when I go to shows.
Nice. What's your more popular heckle?
Sometimes I just like to say things like, doi. I like to say, you know, like, I just like to, I don't know, nothing too harsh, you know.
No.
Oh, and then what's the point, you know?
It's rude.
Like, I mean, it is rude, but I mean, sometimes if it is something that's really making your life as an audience member a living hell, you should be allowed to express it, I think. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I mean, Play One the Drummer Knows is one of my favorites.
Yeah. You know? I think if I hate a band enough, I probably just walk out.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's it. I mean, if I hate a band enough, I'll hire a gaggle of girls to go into the show and chant rapist at the lead singer. Okay, so we got some Babes in Toyland coming up, and then live off the floor at CITR. New Sensei. You want to introduce this, Daniel?
This is a song called Ripe Off to Mother by Babes in Toyland.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This show is A Noise. And prep your ears, smoke them if you got them. Live off the floor, we have New Sensei.
Master! 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 Live again! country. You won't see that you're in. Don't live on sale.
For the North by Northeast Music and Film Festival and Conference in Toronto, June 17th to June 21st.
Rock, hip-hop, punk, country, blues, electronica, singer-songwriter, and more. North by Northeast showcases the best new music from 25 different countries across dozens of genres. It's your chance to catch breakout performances by tomorrow's stars.
5 days, 50 stages, 500 bands, plus 25 great music-related films. All this for just $50. Wristbands are on sale online, www.nxne.com for details. And great deals on festival passes that also get you into the industry conference with celebrity interviews and panels exploring the future of music.
So start thinking about your travel plans to attend North by Northeast in Toronto.
We'll be right back.
another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This show is a noise. Luke Mead here at the helm. And wow, what a great 20 minutes that was. A live, on-the-spot set by New Sensei, who are in the studio with me right now. Thank you so much, you guys. You're nuts.
You're welcome.
You know, that was just fantastic. I'm going to have to get you to talk into that a little bit more. We actually have a casualty here. Daniel, the drummer, is bleeding in our studio.
It's okay.
You know, what'd you do?
I just hit my knuckle on the drums.
Are injuries quite frequent in New Sensei shows?
I seem to hurt my knuckles a lot. This happens a lot, bleeding. But I think that's a common thing.
I started to choke on my hair.
Yeah.
When I whip my hair and then it just goes down into my mouth.
It's because it's so long now.
Yeah, it's really scary that could actually happen.
I remember Kurt Cobain used to have his hair cling to the microphone when he stepped away, you know?
Yeah.
And that was like the epitome of the grunge look kind of thing, you know?
That's what Andrea's trying.
You know? Well, she's wearing flannel too, actually.
Hey.
So, you know, and a toque. You know, I mean, well, it is. It's time for it to become retro, actually, I think, actually. Because, I don't know. I mean, obviously, can I ask your ages?
20. I'm 21 and Andrea's 20.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, and, like, so this kind of ties into, like, what are the influences and stuff? Like, I mean, you started out with Kiss and stuff like that, but, I mean, where did you start playing spazzy, you know, short kind of, I don't even know what, I don't want to call you punk, I don't want to call you noise.
We don't really listen to too much noise ourselves.
Do you consider yourself like, I mean, you obviously have noise elements.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely a noisy
band. I think
it's
noisy, but I think that's because, like, personally, like, I can't hold a bass line for that long. Can't sing that well. You know, like, so all those components come together and they're just, it's noisy.
So would you say there's, like, a no-wave element then, for lack of a better word? Or
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I think, like, Andre and I both really like, well, I'll speak for myself. I like 90s, like I said before, 90s kind of grunge sound, and I also like, you know, like an LA punk sound from the 70s, like Germs or X, things like that. So, I mean,
the decline of Western civilization, kind of stuff, yeah.
I don't know, I think I draw from a lot of different stuff like that. Like, my music tastes are pretty varied. Like,
yeah, I was going through your iPod, if you don't mind, and yeah, they're all over the musical map there, kiddo. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Vancouver. Are you happy here, or are you going to make the inevitable jump to Montreal or Toronto or anything like that?
No,
or,
we like Vancouver.
You know, like,
we're opposed to people moving to Montreal.
Yeah.
In general.
As it should be.
I think it's because Vancouver, I think people in bands in Vancouver have this tendency to be like, to feel like nothing's going on, so they need to move somewhere where something's already kind of happening, or where they think something's happening. Like, I mean, I'm not astounded by anything coming out of Montreal. I'm not at home being like, oh my god, what was the last good band
that came out of Montreal anyway?
Yeah, it's like,
I don't like any bands from
Voivod.
And so I just think it's people who aren't willing to actually make the effort to make something happen here, you know, which I think like a lot of Vancouver bands have been trying to do for the past 2 years, and it's definitely got better. I think the music scene has improved in the last 2 years, just like, not even necessarily with how, like, I don't mean improved as in like better than before sounding, but I think it's like I think it's stronger than it has been for, at least since I've moved here in the 2 years, to have really like picked up at least the underground kind of punk music.
I always hate that inevitable word scene that happens, because it just means it's a word that a lot of cities use to describe their non-scene, it seems. Mm-hmm. But do you actually feel that there is kind of something bubbling, kind of something going on? Like, I mean, just stuff with like the Emergency Room compilation, I can see in 20 years being completely revered as something like the Vancouver Complication album that came out in 1979. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel that there is kind of something, and do you feel a part of it?
Definitely. Like, I mean, well, I mean, we're on the ER comp for one, but I feel like I don't think it's exclusive to Emergency Room. I think Emergency Room is like a good kind of like crash course into it, but I mean, it's way bigger than that. It's fake jazz, it's all kinds of things in the city. But I think definitely there's something going on here. I mean, you know, I only started to notice when we went on tour, and like, you know, people would kind of be like, oh, we've heard of you here, or blah blah, or like, you know, we get responses from places we've never been to before, or whatever. And I don't think that's because, you know, we're this like astounding band that's never done anything or thing. I think it's because, like, something in general in Vancouver is happening that's different, and people are really interested in it. I mean,
and there is a lot of new media and stuff like that that can, it makes it easier to get your guys' stuff out there. I'm so happy you guys stuck to vinyl, by the way, like, in terms of making records, thank you, as opposed to, oh, check our MySpace page, you know, that kind of thing. And you mentioned you're having a new 7-inch coming out soon.
And we're reissuing this 12-inch because we're out.
Mm-hmm. The 12-inch is sold out, but it'll be back soon. But yeah, we have a 7-inch coming out on Critiscum International, which is a new record label in Vancouver.
It's Josh Rose.
Josh Rose from Rundown Sun Runs.
And Josh is a very, very good friend of ours here at Annoyance, and a very good friend of mine. You know,
it's his
and
new kind of spin-off of that.
I mean, Rundown Sun's fairly abrasive, to say the least. You know, like the stuff that he puts out in there, I love it myself. Yeah, that's excellent. And I see you guys are going to LA.
Yes.
Soon. How's the border been treating you guys?
You just pretend that you're going shopping.
Like, do you bring gear and you just rely on it and wait for it down there?
Yeah.
You get like an American to do it for you. It's totally, because you need a work visa and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's what everyone, I don't know anybody who,
unless you have like some sort of good guarantee or something.
Yeah, it's pretty impossible. But it's always been fine for us, knock on wood. But
or you say you're going to like some music festival.
Yeah.
I've always found that you say you're going to a music festival. We did this at the Sub Pop anniversary. When you say you went to a music festival, they pulled us over.
And, yeah, and it's true.
It instantly means
got, like,
drug doer, you know, like that kind of thing. But either way, I always say one that we've pulled, and this is bad faith, but we said we'd go to funerals. You know what I mean? Yeah. They leave you alone then, you know, like that kind of thing, you know. And but either way, the border, fun stuff.
They have to change that.
Yes, they do.
It's never going to change.
It's so expensive too, because you have to ship all your merch and stuff before.
Speaking of, what do you have in the way of merch? Actually, like, are you guys going to get into like yo-yos and
T-shirts.
Well, we have T-shirts that they're sold out at the moment.
People like them.
Yeah. We just went and saw Creator and Exodus, and I got to say, metal bands have
the
greatest merch of all time.
Yeah,
and
it's beautiful.
Apparently, Mastodon got held up at the border because they didn't have they didn't pay their tariffs, and they had stuff like belt buckles and lighters and like lighter holders and knives and stuff like that.
You know
what I mean?
Started that, Gene.
Gene probably did, you know.
I don't think Gene invented merchandise.
I think it comes full circle.
Gene invented the exploitation of merchandise.
Plant, you know?
Yeah, that absolutely. You know, I mean, the Kiss Army.
Of course.
I mean, that was the other question. Back to Gene again. That was another question that got brought up at the Music West open mic session with questions and answers, Gene. And another politically correct question was, how do you feel about all your toys being made by child labor in Indonesia and blah, blah, blah? And, you know, and again, he just said, I'm too rich to care. Like, yeah, Gene Simmons, ladies and gentlemen, you know, thank you. Yeah. Very informative. It was funny as hell because it was him and Matthew Good on a spoken word trip. It was really weird. So either way, let's get back to some music. What do you got queued up for us there, Dan?
I'm going to play B-52's.
Yay. Do you got the Red Album?
Hey, wait, hold on. Yeah.
Do you got Give Me Back My Man? Oh, that's good. Okay, Mount Bravo, Idaho, on a noise.
Oh, sorry, I was...
Electric Prunes for Vox, bringing you the exciting new sound of the Vox Wah-Wah pedal. Let the Electric Prunes demonstrate the difference. Play it prunes first without the Wah-Wah pedal. Now, listen to the difference when you push that Vox Wah-Wah pedal down. You can even make your guitar sound like a sitar. It's the now sound. It's what's happening. That's why the Electric Prunes, Animals, Herman's Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Stones, the Seeds are all using the Vox Wah-Wah pedal, and it works with any amplifier. If you're a professional musician or want to sound like one, get with the new Vox Wah-Wah pedal at your Vox dealer now.
As demonstrated on Rumbletone Radio Agogo, third Wednesdays from 3 till 5 p.m. here on CITR.
Yes, indeedy. Mr. Frank Rumbletone here on the air at 3 o'clock today with the best in your daily dose of garage psych. Yes, indeedy. Stay tuned. At 1 o'clock, we have The Green Majority, hosted by CIUT, Canada's only environmental radio show. 2 o'clock, Democracy Now! With Ms. Amy Goodman. 3 to 5, like I said, Rumbletone Radio, Go-Go. 5 o'clock, The Arts Report with the lovely Tracy Fuller. 6 o'clock, Audio Text with Julian Eric. 6:30, Sam Squatch's Hideaway. All Canadian content all the time with Ms. Anita B. 8 o'clock, Folk Oasis. Strictly Kumbaya Free Zone with Val Cormier. 10 o'clock, Sexy in Van City with Caroline. And 11 o'clock, The Man, The Myth, The Mystery, Hans Klaus. With Hans Klaus's Misery Hour. So keep it locked. This show is a noise. Luke Mead here. I'm here with Andrea and Daniel from New Sensei, who are playing tonight at the Astoria Hotel with GR8 2000. What is it? GR8 2000?
GR8.
I always said GR8 2000.
I always thought it was GR8 2000 too. But
he says GR8 2000. I don't know.
GR8 2000? That's confusing.
But and also the petroleum byproducts. Mm. No strangers to you, I'm sure.
No,
no, like we went you guys, to high school with them.
Yeah, we did. Well, two of them.
Yeah.
So that's funny. Is there kind of a pre? We were talking about emergency room scene and all that kind of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Is there a pre scene to the scene that the scene started?
High school.
I mean, I think that's the only connection high school wise for us. Like,
yeah,
is them, and I think that was just coincidentally like we went to the same high school, but I don't know the scene before. This, I don't know, I think it's,
I don't know.
We only showed up 2 years ago, so.
And then when you showed up, right, like, did it start with, like, house parties and that kind of stuff, or were you actually playing, did you just go out and start playing
those bands
gigs?
Bands have been doing that for a long time, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, bands like, you know, Mutators or Shearing Pinks or whatever, they've been playing, you know, shows for a long time, and I don't know, I think, I mean, they would obviously be able to speak to this better, but from what I can tell, they were, you know, it's just like, always pretty poorly attended and didn't seem like anybody really wanted to like give anyone a break venue wise or, you know, there's a kind of like one place to play in town type of thing. And like, and so then, I know ER opened up and that was a good place for, you know, it was just easy cause it was run by bands. So it was easy for people to play there. I mean, we played, I think the third or fourth ER show and there were like 14 people there, you know, mm-hmm. like it was just like, it used to just be like our friends playing for each other basically. And then a year later, it kind of just, like, got really...
It really evolved, it seems.
Really. But then it got out of hand, but... I mean,
agreed.
That's besides it. But, like, originally, it was just, you know, like, it was just an outlet for people to play for each other, because it was, you know, like, I mean, we started right... Emergency Room was already basically started when we started New Sensei, so... we went to, like, the first show there, and, you know, it was just, like, it was very different from before. But it turned into something good, I mean, and then it kind of went bad at the end, I think, but... It was good for a while, definitely. I mean, mm-hmm. being on the comp has helped us. Like, you know, we get lots of exposure from it. And, you know, being associated with Emergency Room, you know, I think it can be, like, good and bad. But I think it's, like, for the most part, I think it's pretty good.
Do you feel there's a certain camaraderie with all these kind of bands? Or is it more of a competition?
No, we're friends.
We're all friends. So. I mean, the way, like, we all rented there, it was, like, our practice space as well. So mm-hmm. we're all friends to begin with, you know, like, it's, those are bands that
and
people
plays
we see
in
on,
each other's bands, too.
Yeah, yeah there incestuous. Is a very incestuous yeah. scene, yeah.
So, like, all those people are, like, people we see every day. It's, like, people we hang out with our friends, you know. So it was pretty easy to go there. I mean, that's why we loved going there so much, because it was just, like, run by your friends, hang out with your friends, play music with and for your friends. It was just, like...
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, where do you think the city's headed in like a musical scene way?
I don't know.
I think people are freaking out at the moment about venues shutting down and stuff like that.
But it seems honestly, they're opening up just as quick as they're like, closing. And, so
you know, I think it's like we said, it's not like before things like Emergency Room or Secret Location or like Peanut Gallery, all these underground spaces. It's not like there were that many venues to begin with.
Not really.
And I mean, underground venues until you know we get easier laws to keep these things open, you know, like they're gonna always get shut down. It's inevitable. So I feel like people are kind of freaking out over nothing, really. Like, I mean, we are kind of known for playing like too many shows. I think like we play like really.
Did you ever worry about that? Like oversaturating?
No. I mean,
I like playing the.
Well,
I don't like playing on like a stage and stuff. And like I feel like at the moment there's like very few places you can play.
Well, yeah, I mean it's like if I had the choice, I would of course choose the Peanut Gallery or something over
wherever. A licensed establishment.
Yeah,
for lack of a better.
It's way more fun, and it's like it just.
I always feel like
it
sounds better too.
But like, I think the thing is like just like the thing about people being like, oh, like we did an interview recently, and one of the questions is from someone in Montreal, and one of the questions was something about like, oh, is the scene crumbling or whatever, and it's just like. No, like, it's got nothing to do with the venues, Emergency Room closed, those bands are still around. Like, we still play shows. We weren't, like, reliant on the Emergency Room solely or anything. And, I mean, we still play very often. I mean, it's not like we're like, oh, my God, like, there's nowhere to play. What are we going to do? I mean, we play often enough. Like, it's not a train wreck, I don't think. At least for us, it's, like, nothing. It hasn't affected my life, really.
How would you guys feel about getting more and more noticed and stuff like that? Would you feel comfortable on a stage such as, like, Richards on Richards or the Commodore or something like that?
We just played at the Wise Hall.
Yeah, we played at the Wise Hall with women, which was pretty big. It was, like,
I think it's like an old
60s venue. It's like San Francisco.
The stage is huge, or there's no stage. It's that, like, weird.
There's no middle ground.
The middle thing is like where the Cobalt stage is like.
Well, I mean, Wise Hall was the craziest. That's
but you don't even
notice like
it's so big. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think in general I'm not opposed to playing any venue whatsoever. Like I'm happy just to play wherever. But I mean, obviously, like my preference is probably like DIY spaces or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a more comfortable feeling anyway, because you're not dealing with, like, some sound guy who's telling you he was like, I played on the Police tour when you came here and blah, blah, and you're just like, that's... And then the biggest thing we get, like, is, okay, so where's the rest of your band? And we're like, oh, well, it's just drum and bass. And they're like, oh, okay, cool, well, what are you playing through? And Andrea will be like, oh, I play through a Metal Zone guitar pedal. And they'll just start laughing. They're like, oh, you kids, when I was touring with the Eagles. And blah, like, just like, oh, God, like, give me a break.
Some guys.
On cool. that note, let's check out one of your 7-inches.
Slobber.
Who
Best
are the,
band ever.
Who are these guys?
I think they're from, like, Michigan or something. I'm not sure. But they're teenage heaven band or something. They're amazing.
And they're on Deep Six, too, which is really... That's the legendary grunge label, actually.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Wait
till you hear the production on this one.
Okay. And the name of the tune is...
Waiting to Die.
Die. Die. It was 12 to 1. I cummed. Looked at my watch and it was 1:45. I said, what is it used for lubricant, baby? Super glue. My watch and it was 2:45. I said, God damn it, bitch, I gotta take a pee. Looked at my watch and it was 6:04. 25 or Terry Cat. Chicago. My watch and it was 4:05. I said, I don't know what you got down there, bitch, but I'm being eaten alive. Yeah. Look at my watch. watch, and it was 5:45. She said, "Oh, that smells like bratwurst." I said, "Well, you smell like tuna fish." My watch, and it was 7:45.
Seven.
Oops. Looked at my watch, and it was 9:50. Here I come again. In my watch, and it was 10:50. Fully extended, 12. Looked at my watch, and it was 13:00. Me and God just watching Scotty's cock rock. My watch, and it said 14. That's jailbait, baby.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
On Wednesday, May 6th, join us for a night of great local music. CITR 101.9 and Discorder are bringing you a new monthly at the Astoria. Come down on the first Wednesday of every month. Our first night will feature New Sensei, Petroleum Byproducts, and GR8 2000. Doors are at 8 p.m., bands play at 9. That's at the redesigned, re-soundproofed, rehabilitated Astoria Hotel, 769 East Hastings, brought to you by Discorder and CITR 101.9 FM.
Yes, indeed. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Tonight, Astoria Hotel, New Sensei with Petroleum Byproducts and great grade 8, GR8 2000. And in the studio, we have Andrea and Daniel from New Sensei. And we're just kind of going through. You heard a pretty weird set there. That was one that we all got a pick. And yeah, that sounded good on a mixtape, if you ask me. We started with
Slobber.
And then we had
Miriam Makeba.
And then we had The Frogs off of My Daughter the Broad, Reeling and Rocking, number one. That's going out to Gord, because we were talking about him a couple days ago about how much we forgot how good The Frogs were. And I was like, hey, I've got a two-piece band on, and The Frogs are a two-piece band. So there, it all comes full circle. We mentioned L.A. What else is next for you guys? You got a 7-inch coming out. You got L.A. Anything else summertime? Like
Sled Island, I think?
Yeah, we're playing Sled Island.
I'm going to see you there. I can't wait. Do you know where you're playing yet?
We don't know where we're playing yet, I don't believe.
Okay. You strike me as a Tubby Dog kind of band. So if you've never been to Tubby
Dog
before.
That's what they offered.
You should. Yeah. It's real fun, and I hope you're carnivores.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's the best hot dog you've ever had in your life. And they do have veggie dogs if you are veggie, but they are known for their peanut butter and jelly and Captain Crunch hot dog, which that's exactly what's on it. Peanut butter and jelly, Captain Crunch. Bryce, who you saw just walk in the studio, he has it every single time he goes to Tubby Dog. And the one cool thing, I missed it by a week. I was there a week early for Easter. They have their Easter dog, which is a kosher wiener blessed by a rabbi. All their wieners are blessed by a rabbi.
Wow.
But then they sprinkle communion wafers in the shape of a cross.
Oh my God,
for you.
That's
so amazing. You get both religions combined into one hot dog. And
so they're creative.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So we're, I think that's I don't think it's confirmed yet, but that's
you should play Tubby Dog. And the other thing is that the last time I was there, I ordered like the most carnivorous thing in the world, and I'm sitting there with a whole bunch of other radio guys, and we're just chowing down, and they're playing "Meat Is Murder" by the Smiths, which was just so ironic, and I even said, "Play Meat Is Murder for God's sake," and sure enough, it went and just got pulled off. So they're pretty cool. Sled Island gonna be a good one this year. Just got announced. I'm going down. A lot of big names on it. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Liars,
that's going to be good. The Breeders.
Andrew WK.
Yeah, Andrew WK, our very own Evaporators. Yeah. So you know what's going to happen there,
our
most likely.
Women, who are from Calgary.
One of the better bands from that city, or any city, if you ask me. Yeah. That's going to be my first time seeing them, actually. I always miss them. I know they are. I'm well aware that they're good.
We're also playing Music Waste in Vancouver. That's the Vancouver Festival.
That is coming up pretty quick. That is June 10th to the 13th,
is
it not?
That's correct. And then in July, as you said, we go on our big full U.S. tour with a new Vancouver band called Random Cuts, which is Justin from Mutator's band.
Solo band.
Mm-hmm.
With these two ladies.
There's two ladies in it, yeah.
Yeah. Really
excellent. Did they have anything out yet?
No, but he has 3 7-inches coming out on Nominal Records.
Wow.
And he hasn't even played a show yet.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's having
And he's going on a 5-week U.S. tour with us as well.
That's having your poop together, man. That's pretty cool. All right.
It's really good. We would love to play it, but it's not out yet, so we probably wouldn't be allowed to, but...
Yeah.
Well, fair enough, you know. Anyways, you got something queued up, yes?
Yeah.
What do you want to listen to?
I'm going to play Swimsuit Issue by Sonic Youth.
Oh, good.
I'm just On May 12, 2009, BC is faced with a provincial election. Students should vote. When we speak up, they will listen.
Vote for candidates who support a reduced tuition to increase access to better education, better transit, and adequate funding to universities.
On May 12, vote in the BC elections.
This is a message brought to you by the AMS External Office, authorized by the AMS, registered sponsor under the Elections Act, 604-822-2050.
And college radio at its finest, CITR 101.9 FM. We're just wrapping up with New Sensei. And in the words of our very own Nardwar the Human Serviette, is there anything else you want to say to the people out there?
Not really. No.
How about come see us tonight?
Come see us tonight, yeah. Please.
If you want. Don't do it if you don't want to. That's what I have to say.
It's free.
Why would they go if they didn't want to?
Well, because, I don't know.
That reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Lisa dreams of being second best at everything, and she's in the band where it's like, it's Lisa, Garfunkel, Oates, and Messina.
Wow, that sounds like an awesome...
And then they start playing, and everyone just starts booing, and then Lisa snaps out, she's like, why would they come to our concert just to boo us? You know, like, I mean, that's so okay.
And then she goes on a crazy lucid dream because she realizes she's asleep.
Oh.
I don't know. That was a question.
No, sorry. That didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Tonight, New Sensei, Petroleum Byproducts, and Grade 8 2000, Astoria Doors, I think 8, show at 9, yes? Maybe.
I have no idea.
It's at gig time, you know, show
up. I think the Astoria closes at 1.
Yeah,
I think it closes at 2 now, doesn't it?
On weekends.
But it has to close at 1. So make sure you swing by. And it's sponsored by CITR and Discord. So come on to show how much, if not the band, show how much you love us.
Mm-hmm.
And check them out. And then we have a final request.
Yes.
And this is
Mistress of Pain by Angel Death.
By Death Angel.
Angel Death.
Not Angel. It's Angel of Death. Which is a great, you know...
Slayer. Yeah, sorry.
Andres had very little sleep.
That's cool.
Very little.
All right. Well, anyways, we're going to end with this. And thanks to you guys for coming by. And thanks for playing live. Of course, you can check out the podcast at www.citr.ca. You want any requests, you can drop me a line at lukemeat@hotmail.com. And until next week, this is Luke signing off saying, if it doesn't annoy, it's not a noise. Bye for now.
I'm Bill Allison, a coral reef scientist living in the Maldives. Thank you. You are listening to Green Majority.
From Toronto, it's time for your weekly dose of conservation information here on Canada's first environmental news hour. On CIUT and our community radio partners across the country, I'm Jordan Popink. Welcome to the Green Majority. This week, Canada's attention is on British Columbia as the province heads into the final days before its 2009 elections. Current polls show the Liberals and NDP neck and neck as Election Day looms. But where are all the green chips stacked? On today's show, our news experts take on that question and ponder the fate of the province's much-maligned carbon tax.